You're listening to Air Talk on the KPCC app and 89.3 KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle. Fresh air is coming up at the top of the hour. We don't have any news conference at noon, so you'll hear Fresh Air in its entirety. And I always want to remind you that every weeknight at 9 o'clock, we rebroadcast one of the hours of Air Talk. It's Air Talk tonight at 9, your chance to catch all or part of an hour that you might have missed earlier right here on KPCC. Joining me now from UC San Francisco Medical Center, infectious disease specialist and professor of medicine, Dr. Peter Chin Hong. Dr. Chin Hong, welcome back.
Thanks so much, Larry. Always a joy.
Let's begin with COVID-19 and with the protests taking place all around the country. To what degree should we be concerned about a spike in COVID cases?
I think we should be very concerned, but at the same time, I think we have to honor the people's feel and need to respond to this national tragedy by giving them safe practices that they can use while protesting.
And so what are the things that people should keep in mind if they were out protesting within 6 feet of other people? Should they just look for symptoms or should they quarantine themselves? What should people do?
Yeah, so I think of it as like two phases. One is like while protesting and then the aftermath. So let's talk about while protesting. So while protesting, there are three groups of people that can help to lower the risk of transmission. That is the people who are protesting. I think as many people wear masks as possible. I think it's not always feasible to stay 6 feet apart, but of course, if you can do that, that'll be great. The next thing is, like, instead of masks, I think some people are finding that face shields might be a little bit more comfortable. The next thing is to have a group of allies, and those group of allies will provide extra masks for people who get them ripped off or get soiled or get sprayed with pepper spray. And also provide hand sanitizers. And then there's things that law enforcement agencies can do as well to lower risk.
And what are some of the things they should be doing?
So I think in terms of law enforcement agencies, they should really think about not using tear gas or pepper spray. That makes people cough. It makes people spread those droplets further. We've talked about on this show before that by shouting and by coughing, you can really spread those droplets further, give those droplets superpowers. The next thing they can do is wear a mask. And the third thing they can do is, you know, if they interrogate someone, they can hopefully allow them to keep their mask on and interrogate them on the outside rather than in an enclosed space, like in a police station, a jail, or an enclosed car.
Peter, I would think that given, as the summer heats up, it's going to be tougher and tougher to get people to keep their facial coverings on because of the heat and discomfort. So what do you think about looking at a face shield instead? Is that a more comfortable option in the heat or not?
Totally. I love face shields. You know, I've worn them in the hospital myself. They're a lot more comfortable. I mean, I think there are also psychological benefits for wearing face shields. People can see people's expressions. You can actually interact more as a human being with another human being. And you can wear it for a longer time. And it does give you that facial physical barrier. So they can be quite effective.
Are they harder to be heard out of than a fabric covering or about the same?
I think it's probably about the same. And I think that's the other risk too, you know, in terms of all of the protests is people are manipulating their face a lot more and they may not have hand washing or hand sanitizer available. So again, like we talked about on the show before, the more you touch your face, the more you're potentially bringing that risk of a surface onto your face. But I would say that the benefits of wearing a mask or a face shield far outweigh, you know, the potential risk of touching your face.
We're talking with Dr. Peter Chin Hong, infectious disease specialist, UC San Francisco Medical Center. He's professor at the School of Medicine. If you have questions for him about COVID-19, we're at 866-893-KPECC. That's 866-893-5722. With a face shield, is the 6 foot distancing as important as it is with a fabric facial covering?
No, I think it's probably a little less important. If I was stuck on a desert island and I had to choose one thing, staying 6 feet apart or wearing a mask or a face shield, I would choose wearing a mask or a face shield.
All right. And what if we are going to see a second wave of protest related COVID-19, what would be the timeline for us witnessing that?
So I think we'd see it in about 2 weeks, or 1 to 2 weeks. And again, California has been really good with training thousands of contact tracers, so that if we get those that workforce out in force and we can find out, and with testing ramping up, those who are positive and try to find out those who have been contacts with those people, I think we can keep the people infected away. But again, the context of politics and protests make that a little bit more dicey, because again, with contact tracing, you're going to ask people who you've been in contact with. They may not know, and if they did know, they'd be worried about giving names and addresses out to someone they may not trust.
Well, and probably, you know, most of the people that they're close to are strangers. Even if they go to a protest with a group of people, there are going to be a lot of other people that they'll be mingling with. Unfortunately, though, in Los Angeles County, with the exception of Dodger Stadium, or at least in the city of L.A., I should say, I think the testing centers, the drive-through centers, are closed. Dodger Stadium remains open. So, Dr. Chin Hong, that's going to make it harder to get timely testing.
So certainly, and I think that, you know, I think one of the hopes that we have as, you know, public health, people interested in public health and in healthcare, is really to encourage cities to really try and keep these testing options available to the people, and to publicize them, and to reduce barriers for people to get testing when they want to get testing. We want as many people to get tested as possible, again, so that we can keep people away, we can quarantine people who are positive from those who are negative.
We'll continue our conversation with UCSF's Dr. Peter Chin Hong. We'll take your questions at 866-893-KPECC. Back in 1 minute on Air Talk. Just to update you on what's happening with the curfew, Los Angeles County has extended the curfew for a fourth day, but it won't begin until 9 o'clock tonight. There were some concerns we heard from people out protesting who felt 6 o'clock was too early to cut off the protests with a curfew because of working people who couldn't get there early enough. Also, there was no opportunity, they felt, to do candlelight vigils. So now 9 o'clock is the start of the curfew in Los Angeles County. It'll last until 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Dr. Peter Chin Hong, UCSF, joining us. Ruben in Mid-City LA says, do you have any recommendations what to do if you're at home and you've got COVID? I've had it for weeks, and I want to know how I can ease the symptoms and recover faster.
Yeah, so that's really a great question, Ruben. I think, unfortunately, we're seeing people with lingering symptoms right now, you know, as so many people are being survivors of COVID-19. And those symptoms are sticking around longer than, in some people, longer than people anticipated. So it's not like, you know, you have a cold and you get over it. That happens in a lot of people, but there's a group of people where they're having these lingering symptoms. I would say, like, hold tight, try to manage your symptoms, eat well. And in terms of symptoms, you know, you go for what your symptom management is. In your medicine cabinet, you're going to have ibuprofen for pain relief. You're going to have, you know, something that, you know, if you're having cough as a symptom, you're going to control those. I would say the only caution is to, if you use combination medicines like NyQuil or something like that, to really read the label so that you don't overdose, because they often contain something like Tylenol. If you take like tons of combination medicines, you may be taking much more Tylenol than you need as part of that combination. But I would say, Ruben, it's really tough to like have these symptoms. I know a lot of my friends and colleagues have them too. But hang tight. It's going to get better. Take good care of yourself. Practice self-care. And, you know, stay as zen as possible. Meditate. You know, these are some of the things that some of my friends have been finding helpful in these difficult times.
All right. I was just sent a story. It looks like it's from Reuters. Yes, it is. The novel coronavirus is said by a senior Italian doctor official to seemingly losing its potency and becoming much less lethal. I don't know what the evidence cited in that is, but Reuters reporting that. Have you heard such a thing, Dr. Chin Hong?
No, I mean, I haven't heard that. I mean, we've heard it on the other extreme too, where it's potentially getting more lethal. But I think my feeling overall is that it's kind of a stable virus. It is. And the, you know, it ebbs and flows just like with any epidemic. The fact that we're not seeing as many people have it isn't the fact that it's becoming less lethal. It's just that, you know, the epidemic generally burns out until enough people get it again. And then it can spread with some of these other congregate settings that we talked about, if large gatherings, et cetera.
In the states that reopened in that first wave, are we seeing increases in hospitalizations or deaths to COVID-19?
Yeah, I mean, probably the most famous case that's been cited so far in the United States is the case of Wisconsin, where, you know, several weeks ago, as the audience might know, the Supreme Court the governor overturned the public health recommendation that people remain in shelter in place. People went out to the bars. That was like widely publicized on social media. And 2 weeks later, lo and behold, there were actually increasing deaths and hospitalizations in the state of Wisconsin. In fact, some of my colleagues there were medical professionals were reaching out to me, really not having enough antivirals for the patients that they needed to treat. And I think it was really a good temporal association of, you know, something that's a public health recommendation or not following that, and then a potential link to spiking cases.
One of the things that I've seen is that various heart medications, including statins, appear to be helpful in some patients with the severity of COVID-19, helping with that. What do you think the research shows?
Yeah, so that's a great point, Larry. And you know, as we discussed COVID over the last few weeks here on the show, you've seen that we've learned so much. We're learning so much every day. So first it was just the virus. And when we said, okay, it's the virus plus the inflammatory response, like the lung and maybe the heart. And now we're saying it's the virus plus the lung plus maybe the vessels. So we have therapies now for the virus. We think about, you know, maybe treating the lung in certain ways with the way we give oxygen in a gentle way. And now we're thinking about treatments that target overclotting, strokes, and all these vessel problems that we've been seeing now in the most recent wave. So I think around that area, people have been looking at blood pressure medicines. They're looking at blood thinners. They're looking at statins. They're looking at fish oil. I mean, none of these have been really published in convincing ways in peer-reviewed journals yet, but I know a lot of people are studying it. And it makes sense. And again, the overall theme is we don't have time to make a drug from scratch. So again, it's the same theme of teaching an old drug new tricks, but it does have biologic plausibility.
Nari in La Puente asks, do you have any advice for people who ride public transit? It's crowded. It's impossible to stay 6 feet apart. Not a good situation. What advice do you have?
So I would say go to the experience of many of the countries where they've really used and embraced universal masking as a public health intervention, and they wear masks everywhere. And if you look at the pictures of people walking in the streets of Hong Kong, they're not like all 6 feet apart either, yet their incidence in the community is pretty low once you have contact tracing and quarantine and testing out. So I would say, like, if you need to take the public transport, and I know there are tons of people who need to, they don't have the luxury of, you know, having a car or having someone take them from place to place, wear your mask, have a backup mask. And I think you'll do the best that you know, that's pretty good. And I would, again, prioritize a mask over 6 feet apart.
We also have a listener, Alex in Westwood Village, wants to know about how police with the protests are gathering people together after curfew, getting them up close. Do you think that's going to add to the spread of COVID-19?
Yeah, so I think we're really concerned as infectious disease doctors and public health specialists about, you know, those, you know, law enforcement and some of the, you know, techniques that might be used or strategies they use in terms of disease amplification. So, you know, in terms of keeping people again on the outside, having people leave their masks on, those are all things, you know, maybe having hand sanitizers available for people who are being questioned. Those are humane public health interventions that law enforcement can do to at least help quell the spread of disease.
Thank you so much. As always, we appreciate it. Dr. Peter Chin Hong, please stay safe and thank you for spending time with us on Air Talk.
It was a pleasure, Larry.
Thank you, Dr. Peter Chin Hong, UC San Francisco Medical Center infectious disease specialist and professor. From all of us, have a good afternoon.